Why is a guy making pots? So he can go elsewhere and sell them. It has nothing to do with the bathhouse. It's profit. Can you put it in that Gemara? In the red Gemara. It has nothing to do with profit. The profit he makes is elsewhere. Obviously, he's making the pots to sell them. Why else is he making the pots? When he's Tom Lashem Shemaya making pots, that's not what's happening. He's selling them. But he's not selling them here in the bathhouse. It's not he's making profit off the bathhouse directly.
It's a side gig.
He's making the pots so he can go to his store where he sells pots and sell them. It's different than the Ran, who says he has the right to sell the eggs in front of the store. He's not making eggs, according to the Ran. He has eggs from the chicken farm, right, that don't have bird flu. And he goes and he sells the eggs by the bathhouse. That's where you have a customer base. That's Bayim. According to the Ran, he has nothing to do with the bathhouse. Just to write to sell the stuff in front of his bath, in front of the bathhouse. That's the Ran's shot in Bayim. And one Mandiyama says that's considered Tfisas Yad. One Mandiyama says that's not considered Tfisas Yad. But that's not how the Rush learns. The Rush learns he actually uses the bathhouse. And to heat the pots. Why is he heating pots? Obviously, he's going to sell them. There's no other reason he's making pots. He has a right, but not here, elsewhere in his pot shop. It's nothing to do with the selling of it. It has to do with the making of it in the bathhouse. Now, the Rush has a problem. In the Beit Chabad, you don't make pots. The Mishnah said Beit America, it's in Beit Chabad. So, the Rush, Knegata, analogous, you'll find the Malacha Ketana that's similar to making pots in the bathhouse. That a guy uses a Beit Chabad for something not related to pressing olives, but something else that he can use the facilities for. And that's not called Tfisas Yad, according to Nachman. And according to Abaya, it is called Tfisas Yad. That's the shot in this Rush.
Now, of course, I'm sorry,
I didn't start the recording yet because I'm not teaching yet. I'm explaining a Rush. I did start it.
Person himself,
yes,
gets no money from the profit. Let me just say it. Finish it. If he walks, but he has the authority
to make pots there.
Walk into.
I don't know why you added the word walk in. I don't know what that means. Walk in.
I can go anytime I want and to make these dishes or clay balls, whatever it is. Is that considered?
It's a machlokes of Nachman and Abaya.
Nothing to do with profits later.
Well, excuse me. You know, let me tell you. I have a Machutin's brother named Reb Yanko Droman. He's a Kohen Adir. He's a Talmud of Reb Huttner's. So he told me that he was captured. He was hijacked in 1970. He was on that plane with Rav Huttner and Rav Huttner's daughter that were hijacked in 1970. He was hijacked. So they came back. Rav Huttner didn't want to talk about it. His whole lifetime, he never talked about what happened that week that he was in Jordan. I don't know if you remember the story, he was in Jordan. So Yanko Druma was a bachar. And, you know, he, by the way, swallowed somebody's passport. There was a lady there with an Israeli passport, and he ate it up. He ate it up. Anyway, besides for that, so he claimed he was invited to speak at the Young Israel of West Side about his thing. And he went to speak. He came back, Rav Huttner called him and said, Yanko, they paid you? So he said, no. So let me tell you, Yanko, you said. He told it to me himself. In Die Welt, in this world, you do things for two reasons. Other Kugel, other Leviathan. Not Kugel, not Leviathan, you don't do. You're either making profit in this world or you're making profit in the next world. Stam to do something without anything to come out of it, not a mitzvah to get Leviathan and not Olam Hazeh to get Kugel, you don't do things if there's no Kugel and no Leviathan. So that's what I'm telling you. Nobody's making pots, L'shem Shemayim, to make pots. You make pots so you can sell them and make money.
Without anyone arguing with me right now, I would have said... If you have the authority to go in there to pots, ready for this? Either to sell them
or
use the pots for yourself to cook. cook something.
Yeah, if that makes you happy, yes. But normally people don't have a business. Excuse me. Nobody has a business of making. You don't reserve a right that once every 5 years that I have to replace my pot, I keep that right. That's not what's happening. He's keeping it that he can make constant pots. Now, why is he making constant pots? His wife likes to cook him a new pot every meal? Why is he making pickle? It's a big inside, by the way.
And you mean to tell me that he wasn't mashpia, the people there?
I'm telling you what, you have to call your Uncle Joman and ask him. He's a gun out there, by the way. He's a fabulous guy. I mean, he doesn't need my ask.
He said, you bring me some?
He's my Mechutin's brother. No, he's my Mechutin's brother. Okay, doesn't make a difference. Vaitre. Let's go, Vaitre. We are on Daf Mem Zayin Amud Aleph. Well, we did it already. We asked the Shaila, when a person offers something on his friend, and he says, Peres Ha'elu, he identifies which fruit. Now, Gdulim are Aser, because Chazal view Gdulim as the actual thing. So when he says, Kainim Peres Ha'elu Alplani, and then the fruit is planted, what grows is Aser rabbinically, because it's considered like the item itself. The shaila is the exchange. And when a person asks himself from something, he means the exchange as well. That's what we say is his kavana. But when I ask you on something, can I ask you on the exchange? Is that included in the iser? Is it like gedulim? Do people view exchange like something that grew from it? Or do people view growing from it is the actual thing, and exchange is not the actual thing? That's the Gemara shaila. Right? Again, the Mishnah says later on that if you ask yourself, you are Asr b'chilufeim of Gduleim. The question is, when I ask you, are you Asr in the Chalipin or not? That's the Shaila. So we are on Mem Zayin Amud Beis. Amar Avach Bar Miyumi, the second line from the top. Tashima. We will now try to prove the Shaila. Tashima. Come in here. Haimel Ishtai, Kainim Shani Nanaloch. A man says to his wife, I ban you should have pleasure from me. Now, this is problematic because a husband has obligations to his wife. He can't make a neder that she can't have pleasure from him. We had that Gemara when he banned himself from Tashmish. The Gemara had to come away that he's banning himself from Anoa Tashmish, not that he's banning her from having pleasure from him. He's Meshubad Law, the Gemara said. He has a Shibud. You can't ban yourself from a Shibud. So the Gemara in Subas has a problem with how can a guy ban his wife from pleasure. And the Gemara comes up with certain solutions. I don't know if the Rush will address these solutions. He will not. But this is a Shaila of how you can do this. But whatever way you learn, there is a way to do this. And this Gemara is talking about, you did it that way. We're not going to get involved in how you do it because that is a problem. You have a shibud to feed your wife. So how can you say you can't have pleasure from me? Excuse me. How can I not have pleasure from you? You're mechuyev to feed me. You're meshubad. And we learned back enough, the dollar tezvavim is beis, that said the favorites, that a shibud overrides the netter. You can't make a netter against the shibud. That's what we learned over there. There we got out of it by saying he didn't ban her, he banned himself from the pleasure. But here he's saying you can't have pleasure from me. So that's a sugging subas. We will not go there. That's not our thrust over here. With the price, the Mishnah says, Lava, she can borrow money, Ubali Chayvim Bov in the front, and then the creditors can come to him and say, you owe us money. Your wife borrowed money to feed herself, and you owe us money. And she's not getting her naw from him. She got her naw from the loan, which he's responsible to pay. But she didn't get any money from him. She got an offer from the guy who lent her the money. That guy, indirect, and therefore that's okay. Now, we had the problem is, and I think the Rush will address this, or maybe he won't even address it. Yeah, right, he does. There was a man, the other that we had before, Chanan, who said that when you give a woman money when her husband's out of town, and you feed her, and she comes back, he can say, have a wonderful day. I never asked you to feed my wife. I'm not responsible to pay. So why over here does it say that they can come and collect from him? Zok derash. Lavo balichayv v'bar v'nefroim. Afilu v'chanon. even according to Chana, it says you put your money on the horns of a deer. That's if you did a nice deed. You see a woman without food, and you went and gave her money for food. But if she goes to you and says, I need to borrow money for food, and my husband will have to pay you back because he's obligated to feed me, it's a gemaring subas. Now there, the gemara talks about as follows. A person married a girl rabbinically. Now there is a rabbinic marriage the Chazal instituted for a girl who has no father. And the father can marry off his daughter at any age. This girl, unfortunately, is an orphan. And she's 9 years old or 10 years old. Her mother or brother can marry her off rabbinically. That's the halacha. It's not a biblical marriage. Mothers and brothers have no right over that girl. The only one who had a right is her father. Unfortunately, he's not here anymore. She can marry herself off, by the way, also. It's Masma from the Gemara and Kedushin. She can do it herself also. It's interesting because throughout Shas, they always talk about her mother and brother marrying her off. I don't know why the Gemara rarely talks about herself marrying her off. But that's not the guy here. How can her mother marry her off? So let's just say, rabbinically, it works when her mother wears birth. So she can walk out of that marriage. At any point till she turns 12, she can turn to her husband, rabbinic husband, and say, have a wonderful life. I'm out of here. She does not need a divorce. He could divorce her. He doesn't. She can walk out. A regular married woman who's married biblically has no option of walking out of a marriage. A rabbinic marriage, Chazal said, she can be Mabayan. She can walk out of the marriage. Once she's 12, she's a Gtayla. 12 and a half has to do with her father's rights. 12 is when she becomes a Bat Mitzvah. At that moment, it becomes a biblical marriage. And Shaila is exactly how. Well, what says the Machlokes? I'm not getting involved in that. But that's what happens. Now, the halacha is, what if her husband left town? She borrowed money to eat. And then she walked out of a marriage. So then when he comes back, he does not have to pay the loans. That's what it says. She walked out. She walked out. He cancels all his obligations, even the obligations he had because she borrowed money before she walked out. She ate for 5 weeks from borrowed money. But the fact that she walked out of marriage makes it her responsibility, not his responsibility. That's the Gemara and Subas. From there we see that if she didn't walk out, he has to pay. He did that. Because the Gemara says, I'm a man, that's a woman that walks out. The Elam is Zainus. She's on love to the Achla, but I'm Demina. She borrowed. She used the money to eat. And then, 2 weeks later, she walks out of the marriage. Mashmaham loymina, but if she didn't walk out, chayva ba'alu shalim mashalavsa. He would have to pay. Ve'ein zekam I pray a chayvoy, dasvina alibad rabbanon. Aye, why isn't he paying her debt? Why don't we say, the rabbanon said you can't pay a debt from somebody who's not allowed to have pleasure. Right? Reuven owes money, and he's not allowed to have pleasure from Shimon. Rabbanan says Shimon can't pay Reuven's debt. Chanan said he can. Rabbanan said he can't. Right? Unless it was a loan that he won't have to pay. We had all kinds of terutzim earlier in the Masechta. Why? Because Shasha loves Amra, so Yifru Ami Baila. The loan wasn't to her. The loan was to her husband. She told the guy, my husband's obligated to feed me. He didn't leave me any money. Can you lend money to my husband and feed me? That's what she told the guy. She never borrowed the money for herself because she said to him when she borrowed the money, I'm borrowing the money, my husband will pay you. That's not paying her debt. It's not her debt. It's his debt. Therefore, this is perfectly legal that he can pay, that she can borrow the money and he has to pay it. Now, our question is, she got an exchange for his money. If chilupin or usher, if she's not allowed to have pleasure from the exchange, what she did is she took money as an exchange of her husband's money. Her husband has to spend his money to feed her. She can't have anah from his money, so she took somebody else's money as an exchange for his money. That's what's happening. When she borrows the money, what is she doing? She's saying, my husband owes me $100. I'm taking $100 for you, my husband will repay me. That means she's exchanging this $100 for his $100. If Chilupin is us, sir, she, why is she allowed to do this? What?
It's a stretch. The end of.
Can't hear you.
It's the end of it. It's a stretch. It's a stretch.
That's the Gemara's gotcha.
But so I said the exchange is not like growing.
That's what we're trying to prove.
Sorry, but why should it matter how she says it to the guy she's borrowing from? There's an obligation from this husband to support the wife. Even if the wife says, I'm borrowing it stop, It's the husband's obligation. Who cares if she's saying, oh, I'm borrowing it. But the bottom line is the husband owes the money, has to feed her.
You want to hear the answer?
Yep.
Okay. The husband had to feed her. He, by the way, the husband next door, he banned her from pleasure from him. He has to feed her. So I answered you that the Gemara and Ksuba deals with that question of how can he wheedle out of the obligation of feeding her? She's needing the sugar to her. Okay. For whatever reason that works, that means the husband got away without feeding her. He owes her to feed her, but she can't have pleasure from him, so she can't take the money from him. Right? Now here she goes and borrows money. Who is the creditor lending it to? Him or her? If he's lending it to her, it's her debt. If her husband pays it, he's paying her debt. Now, he's obligated, but he was obligated to feed her the before, and he got out of that obligation, or the netter made it impossible for him to keep his obligation. So whatever way it made it impossible for him to keep his obligation, he can't pay her debt. If it's her debt, then how can he pay it? Rabbanan say you can't be pareis chayvei. How can he pay her debt? He's obligated. He was obligated to feed her, and he got out of it. Whatever way you learn that he made a neder that keeps him from being able to feed her, it also keeps him from paying her debt. That same neder says, "I can't pay your debt. I can't pay your debt. I can't feed you."
If she said,
"My husband's borrowing money from you. I'm borrowing money, but my husband's paying this because I can't. I'm not borrowing. I'm paying against his obligation."
How can she? How could she tell someone he got out of it?
No, he didn't get out of it. He has an obligation. He can't keep his obligation.
He can't keep it.
That doesn't mean he doesn't have the obligation. Upstairs, he's going to burn for not being able to keep his obligation.
So whatever it is, the bottom line is when she tells the guy, it's not me borrowing, it's my husband.
Yes.
He got out of it.
No, he didn't. He didn't get out of it. That's the mistake you're making. The obligation is 100% there. But because he made a netter, he can't keep it. He has an obligation that he can't keep. Let me ask you. A guy makes a netter that sukkah is usher in him. She's not allowed to sit in the sukkah. He has no obligation to sit in the sukkah. He has an obligation to sit in the sukkah. Upstairs, they're warming the fires for him.
Downstairs, yeah.
Downstairs. He didn't get out of the obligation. He made it impossible to keep his obligation. But the obligation's there. A husband that makes an edit that his wife can't have it, no. And you come technically and it said it worked. That doesn't take away the obligation to feed his wife. He's 100% obligated. He just can't do it based on the way that he made the netter. It's not enough to feed her. If it were enough to feed her, that would be a different story. If it's not enough to feed her, so what's she supposed to do? So the Gemara deals with this.
She has to keep on working if she can.
Again, she's willing to work whether he feeds her or not.
Where does money go to?
Again, in this case, she keeps the money. He's not feeding her.
In other words, she makes more than feeding.
If she makes more than feeding, she would tell him to get lost, and I'll take care of myself.
Is she still
chayav
at all to...
Again, a woman can say to her husband, Aiden is, don't feed me and I won't work for you.
Right.
Okay, so she makes more money than it costs him to feed. She would tell him, have a wonderful day. But that's not the case here, obviously. So the Gemara brings a raya for the fact that she can do this, that even though that's an exchange for her husband's money, it's mutter. Let's do the rush. Zag the rush, lava balachai v'bom and afroim. Afilu l'cha, we did that already. Lav mishum d'chalip and lav ki gedulim damu. The ichlev hu oisin ma'as, she's exchanging that money. Al oisim she kabul min abayilim shasurim aleha. She's exchanging it for the money he will get from the husband that she can't use. V'kivu shechayim abal l'froim l'malva. Harinasu kvar ha'mos, shenaisin l'isha chalip ha'kainam. So the rush explains why is this an exchange. Because since he's obligated, so when she gets money for that, she's exchanging his money for that. Now, period. Now, Dr. Rush, why couldn't we bring a ride from a mission earlier? We had a case in the Mishnah recently. A guy was going, he saw that his friend has no food, and his friend can't have pleasure. He goes to the storekeeper. He says, listen, my friend can't have pleasure for me, and he has no food. The storekeeper goes, gives the guy food, and comes and collects it. Why isn't that chalipin? Why didn't we bring a raya from that Mishnah? Or the guy that saw his friend needs his fence built, he goes to workers and said, my friend can't have pleasure for me, he has no money, he needs a fence. They go put up the fence, and he pays for it. Why isn't that chalipin? Why did we have to bring a raya from that Mishnah? We just had a Mishnah that dealt with exchange. What? That's the Rush's kasha. Fuck the Rush. It's not chalipin. I'll speak it out outside, then we'll do it inside. Because he had no obligation to pay the storekeeper. He never told the storekeeper, I'll pay you. And he had no obligation to give this guy food. He can voluntarily pay him. But it wasn't an exchange because he had no obligation. But the husband has an obligation. Therefore, it's an exchange. So, the Rush, Shemahadit Nan Leel Beperik Bein Hamuder, Shemutra Hamadir Lefraya Lechamponi, Hamal Shenayt Leisha Chalipe Kainam. Right? I'm sorry. I said over the same line. Lechamponi Lepayalim, Eni Yochel Lehavi Raya. That's not a proof. The Shiny Hassam, the Ein Hamadir Chayav Lefraya Lehem. The guy is not Mukhuyv to pay. Hilkamashayim Naisim Lehemudur Lehavi Chalipe Kainam. The Matana Baalma Yavi Lehemudur. They're giving a present. He's giving them a present. He wouldn't have to pay if he didn't want to. He never told the storekeeper, I'll cover the bill. He has no obligation. And for the Gemara, this is not a proof. You misunderstood our Shaila. We understood the Shaila till now. If a guy exchanges, right, Reuven, Asher, Shimon, and Ana, and these fruits, and the fruits were exchanged. Can he have anah or not? That's not the shayla. We misunderstood Rami Yerucham b'shayla. For sure, it's not anah. It's mutter. We see that before from that Mishnah. We just saw it. What the shayla was is, are they allowed to exchange? Is this mutter for the guy to exchange it, and then the guy can have anah? Meaning, Reuven, Asher, Shimon, and these Paris, can Shimon go and exchange those fruits and then have an offer from him? Is that illegal for Shimon to do it? Is it illegal? Of course, if it's done, he can have pleasure from it. It says the woman borrowed, that means she legally did this? Or that means she did it so she can have an offer from the money? She didn't ask the rabbi whether she should do it or not. What if she would ask the rabbi? The Mishnah didn't tell us. The Mishnah tells us the consequence if she did. But the Mishnah didn't tell us she's allowed to borrow. So Dr. Rush, Enver the Gemara. And then the Rush is going to explain that she has a legal right to do it, because that case is slightly different, because it's not an exact exchange, which we tried to point it out before. So really a stretch. Exchange usually means you have a clock, and I have a clock, and you have a Gemara, and we change. Here, there's nothing she's changing for. She's changing for the obligation that he has to pay her. So it's not really a good chance of that. But let's read the Gemara inside. And for the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yilman Chatchila Udaloi. Maybe Rabbi Balchama was saying, Chatchila, you might not be able to do it. But if you have it, if you did it, it works. Dr. Rush. Yilman Chatchila Udaloi, Hudavid Avid. How do me buy a lay? That which you had a Shaila. Ichalipim Asurim. Hainum Chatchila Asur Lachlifam Vilahanus Menadamim. That's whether you're allowed to. Avid Mechlifam the Avid. Hadamim Mitzvarim. Welcome to the Evid Kamar. Im Rafsa, Baalei Achayvon, Benifromi Menu. Period. That's the answer to Gemara. You don't see from here that anything legal was done. You see consequence. If she borrowed, he has to pay. Now here the Rush adds something on his own. Then he doesn't need Tripshat in the Gemara. Venera. That in the Farish. No. That in that case would even let the woman borrow. Kedemash Melishna the Brisa, the Tony Loiva, the Tony Lovsa. The Brisa says she can borrow. The Brisa doesn't say if she borrowed. It's a Daichik to answer that it means B'dievet. But that's what the Gemara answered. Right? The Gemara is saying don't prove it. There she borrowed. Once she did it, she's Mutzer Havana. Right? But the Brisa of Tirash, the word says Lova, she can borrow. So Zokturash, Choshev Le B'dievet. For her, it's called the B'dievet. For her to do it, is as if it's done already. Why? Kivin shamal v'naisim l'hamos, kaidim shekibul t'murasim in abal. There's two kinds of exchanges. A regular exchange is, I give you A, you give me B at the same time. That is also l'chatchila, muta b'dievet. But in a case when the money is not here, it's a future, we view l'chatchila like a b'dievet. Meaning, if the Evan exchanges were usher, we would say this kind of an exchange is usher also. But since the Evan it's mutter, it's only lechatchila not to do it. The lechatchila only goes for direct exchange, not for a future. Therefore, the Gemara is answering, if the Shiloh were the Evan, you'd have a great raya. But since the Shiloh is only lechatchila, this is a different kind of an exchange. Since b'dievet, an exchange is mutter, this kind of exchange is even mutter l'chatchila. Let's read it inside. The Darash, shkivin shamal v'naisin l'hamas, kaidim shekibul t'rosim n'abal. He's not getting it right away. The Yisuri d'rabanan ba'almahu, v'yasar aleichu shemachlif ha'mamish. So the Rush is saying like this, if you hold exchanges also b'dievet, we wouldn't make this difference between an exchange now and an exchange in the future. Why we wouldn't make the difference? I don't know. But that was Feitel's question when I read the Gemara. Right? He's not getting anything now, the guy. He's going to get it in a week from now, a month from now. But the Gemara viewed that as an exchange. And if exchange would be usher, that type of exchange would be usher as well. But if you're telling me every exchange is only the l'chatchila not to do it, but if you did it, you can use it. So then we say, oh, it's only the l'chatchila? In this case, we'll let it done. Because she's not, the guy's not getting, it's not an exact exchange happening at the same time. So therefore, in the case of the woman, we would let her borrow. L'chatchila.
But not the other.
Right. Zakti Gemara Vayter. El Tashima. We'll bring another raya. Hamakadosh ba'arla, eina mukadeshes. If a guy has arla fruit, it's asher b'ana, it's not mukadeshes. He didn't give her anything. Machron b'kiddush b'demayim. What if he sold the arla, illegal, and then he had money for the arla, he sold it to a guy. He got money, right? Harizu mukadeshes. Now this is an exchange for the arla. He sold the guy his arla fruit. He got himself cash. He went over to the woman and gave her the cash, which was an exchange.
Direct.
Right. And it's his mukadeshes. And for the gemara, I mean, l'chatchila, the loy b'yavad oven. The same thing. You're right. He did wrong. He had no right to exchange it. But he did. Post facto, he can have an offer from the exchange. We never, Rami Bachman never meant you can't have an offer from it. He wanted to know it's illegal. He doesn't say here it was legal. It's illegal. Dr. Rush. The Machra Makinish with the man Mugadeshis, Alma Chalupe Isuri Shari, the Assyri, although I'm the media, didn't give her anything. Mashani Ochanami, he was the Machra Mediaven, Sharu the Meha. Since he sold it, but the event, the money is mutter.
Gemara ends up without a raya.
Gemara ends up without a raya, whether you're allowed to do it or not. Correct. Right.
So, wouldn't that be kind of a raya that Kulufan is mutter?
Well, I'm sorry?
Isn't it a raya
that Kulufan
is mutter?
Isn't it a raya that Kulufan is mutter?
Yeah.
not a raya because it's chalipe chalipen. He's exchanging this money for the woman. She becomes.
No, the rush of the money is money.
What?
The rush of the money is
bring a raya of the fact that it said Mekudeshes, but the evidence mutter. Hey, no chinami. We can bring a raya of the evidence mutter, but we can't bring a raya that you're allowed to do l'chatzila. And so, the shayla of Rabbi Bachamah was l'chatzila. We didn't prove that shayla. You're right. We proved the shayla of the evidence mutter.
No.
I will speak out something that I usually don't do, but I think I like it because the big shayla, if you give a woman something, right, if you give a woman something, now nah, just leave it alone. It's getting complicated. It's not worth it. Talk to Mr. Weiser.
I have no question. This, where he was more than 800 feet, so she went and she initiated the borrowing. She actually borrowed the money from the somebody, right? And that was, and then as a husband is high to pay her.
Only if she told the guy, I'm borrowing from my husband.
If he gives it to her without her initiating the borrowing, then the husband does not have to pay her.
That was the Machlokes Chanan and the
Rabbanan. Okay. So what happens if the husband says, by the way, next time I'm not going to pay you?
So then he won't lend her money. That's very simple. If you go over to the guy and say, don't you dare lend money to my wife because I'm not paying you, he's an idiot if he lends her money. He's not an idiot, he's a tzaddik. Sorry. Neither a tzaddik or an idiot. Pick your choice.
So he has to pay for food for her out the window?
Again.
Or it doesn't happen.
You're back to that question. What do we do with this obligation? That's the Gemara Ksubas that deals with. The question is, can he tell the guy I'm not going to pay? Maybe once she borrowed and said my husband's paying you, Bezin will make him pay. Maybe Bezin will make him pay even if he says I'm not paying.
Oh, so it's not
I said, I don't know, but that's not a gay agamar. Zog the Mishnah Vayta, Reini Alecha Cherim. If a guy says, I am on you a Cherim, right, which means you can't have pleasure from me, Hamudarasur, the guy can't have pleasure from him. Hariyat Alai Cherim, you are a Cherim to me, Hanaydarasur, he's us. Hareini Alecha Vatalai, Shneim Asur. Rashi, Zog the Rush. Right? He says, I'm a cherem to you, which means you can't have pleasure from me, but I can have pleasure from you. He doesn't have to say, but not the other way. He doesn't have to speak out the negative. I'm a cherem to you means you can't have pleasure from me. I don't have to say, but you're not a cherem to me. Stay my surah, there's no chenesh. I got the boy of the business, stay in the time of that's meaning to have kavod to shutrim. It learned it. Now I'm going to explain this in a second. The Gemara is going to say now that when two people are asking anah from each other, what are they allowed to have anah from? What are they not allowed to have anah from? So to get into that Gemara, the Gemara brought a case when both are asur, and now it's going to tell me what happens. So this is a lead-in to the next line in the Mishnah, which is basurim b'davishalai tzeir. I'm sorry, mutarim b'shneim mutarim b'davishalai lebavo basurim b'davishalai tzeir. This is a big site. There were things that were built for community at large. Water pits along the way. When you traveled from Bavo to Eretz Yisrael, they dug water pits so people who traveled should have water. Who owns those water pits? Nobody. They're hefker. They don't belong. Therefore, if Reuben and Shimon can't have enough from each other, and there's a water pit that was dug for the benefit of all the travelers, they can use it, because it doesn't belong to Shimon, not even a mashu of it, and it doesn't belong to Reuben. It belongs to no one. Yes, it is. Because the shul belongs to both of them. The city shul belongs to both of them. There's a difference between things that were built for Jews at large or things that were built for people of this city. Anything built locally is owned by all the shareholders in it, which is every member of the community who pays membership. Therefore, Ruvain can't dive into the shul and Shimon can't dive into the shul. The shul is not Hefker. The shul belongs to multiple partners. One of them is Ruvain. One of them is Shimon.
Brera.
No, no, you don't need Brera. He owns part of the shul.
No.
I mean,
can you go in there or not?
No.
Brera.
Why not?
What do you mean Brera?
I'm going in there. It's my time.
It's like what happens in the shul. Everybody owns the shul every time. Can they go in? No, they can't go in because they're using something that's owned by somebody else. They don't own the shul at times. They have a small share in the shul. That's it. And Chacha She'en B'Chalukha, you own the whole thing because you can't own part of a Chacha She'en B'Chalukha. But they get here, it's a shul. You can split the shul in two. You can split the shul in ten. Depends how big the shul is. You own part, I own part. Nobody said that. I brought that as a riot. It was brought to prove that something owned by community you can't use. Not a rabbi, it's yes, but then chaluk. Now, again, so there are usher in that. So that's the difference. Things that are eilid bavo, which means for general Jewish community at large, not limited to one city. So it's not communally owned. It is Hefker. No one owns it. Whoever built it is allowing every Jew to use it, which means I don't own it. Whereas local things are community owned, and therefore they can't use it. It's up to Mishnah. Stay in the time of the bubble. Let me look for that rush that you were referring to. I'm sorry?
People use it. How does it maintain?
I guess. What? I have no. It rains. The Benishlam maintains them. I have no idea. Nobody. There's no obligation on anybody. But whoever cares about Jews takes care of these things.
Or maybe there's a toll on there.
Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. You can make up whatever you want. I don't know. Dr. Mishnah, stay in the time of the Darvish Lice above him. Vasurim, the Darvish Lice here. Ain't the Darvish Lice above him. Haravayas, the Temple Mount, not owned by anybody. Hefker. Azaris. The Azaris. Habor Shabam Tadarach, the pits of the road. Eidah Davish Laisi here, and Rechba, that Archava, that is the town square. Hamerchatz, the town bathhouse. Well, basically, if there's a town bathhouse, there could be private bathhouses, but this is a town bathhouse. Beit HaKnesses, so, Hateva, the bookshelves, or the Aron HaKadosh, where they put in Sefer Torah. The Rosh says, Shnayis Nimbas Svarim. Didn't say which Svarim. In those days, it meant Sefer Torah, so we would call it an Aron HaKadosh. HaSvarim. These are city-owned, which means everybody is a partner. What's troubling you?
I thought these are not owned. These are community owned. No one owns.
Community owned means everybody is a partner.
Didn't we say?
Not for general.
I don't know where you got that. I said the other way.
But it says those. I said it for Babylon. They're both permitted.
That's because that's not community owned. That's Hefker. Whoever built those water pits is leaving it open for all Jews to use. That means nobody owns it.
These other things are opposite those things?
Again, Basurim B'davish Aisir, B'Eizah D'Davish Aisir, what is considered owned by every member in the city? There's Eilei Bavo means it's not limited to one city. Let me try to explain this better. Things that are built in the city are built by membership funds. Who built the shul? Everybody donated a certain amount to build the shul. Everybody is a part owner of the shul. Who built the town square? Who built the town based Americans? Who built the Aron HaKadosh. People pay to have it done because the city needs these things, so they impose a fee to make, so everybody is a partner. Now, who built the water pits? It makes no difference how they built the water pits. The water pits are allowed for everybody. That's how they made it. That when they build things for the community, it's not owned by anybody. It's Hefker. Everybody can use it. Even if it was paid for by a tax, doesn't make a difference. You're not a partner.
No, it doesn't serve just the city either. Services more than
exactly. Why is it Vitor?
Somebody made it.
No, but it doesn't own it. That's exactly it. The rule of these things are that they are Hefker. Chazal decided, the dummy decided, that these pits don't belong to anybody. You have to understand, they're built in public. Excuse me, they're not built in a private area. It's Hefker. It means. You can't take a pit home. You can't take that home either. They belong to Hegdish. They have an owner. They belong to Hegdish. But everybody can use it. It's not owned by him or me or you. Everybody can use it. If you're allowed to use the Kalim. By the way, you're not allowed to use the Kalim anyway. But you can walk into the Azara. Because Shimon doesn't have a part of the Azara. Even if he donated to the Beis HaMikdash, to the building of the Beis HaMikdash, he doesn't own anything. It belongs to Hegdish, which for this purpose is like Hefker.
When Moshe Rabbeinu said, or Karech, I don't know what he said, he's given a little piece of life. They own a little bit of the...
In the Talmud. That's different because it's Kabbalah's brought by Master Sashekel. That is a big Shaila and Rishaynim. This is a major shiloh, by the way. They bring the Tarak to Zariah. Is a carbon tzibur a shutvus, or is a carbon tzibur an entity called tzibur? Talmud is a carbon tzibur. It's paid for by donations by individuals. Do you own a part? Or is it the new entity, the new corporation called tzibur? What has nothing to do with this? Rashi says you own a piece. Rashi says you own a piece.
Yeah.
To be Kiddush, Pashtus, it doesn't. You don't own a piece.
You give Master Sashekel,
right? Right. Okay, so here we go. We go way off the subject. Right. Yeah, you give a Master Sashekel. Now the question is...
Hegdish.
Right, exactly. So does Hegdish own this? Or do you have a share in it? Rashi said you have a share in it. Rashi and Kairach, right. Anyway, but it's not negated.
So this public bathhouse for the city can't go with
these... Correct. Because it's shutras. Anything that's built in the city is a shutras.
Unless it's two shuls.
So then you're a shutras in the shul that you donated to.
Right.
Right. And if you donated to both, then you're part owner of both. If you're a member of both, you're a part owner of both.
So you have to be a member, or you can just make a donation, or it's the same thing?
I think it's the same thing.
Who owns Shomer Shabbos?
Who owns Shomer Shabbos? The members.
Come and go.
So obviously when they go, they're gone. You have to maintain your membership.
It's not a donation, it's membership.
Well, that's because the membership was pointed out. Somebody's got to pay for the upkeep.
The upkeep. In other words, when a person leaves the shul, goes to another shul.
That means he gives up his rights. That's what he's doing. He's no longer a part of the shul. But that's, I don't know if they had membership.
There's only one shul over here in town.
The one you don't have in it, or the one you do have in it. Every Jew has to have two shuls. You go to an island, you build two shuls. The one you have in it, the one you don't have. Right? Okay. Beshach Nesas, my paper basur, Dr. Rush, Haber Shemem Tadarach, Shemem Babu Laet Yisrael, Nimitzu'u Oile Gaila. The people that came up, the second Beit HaMikdash, built those things, so people should have water when they travel to Be'ayil HaRegel. HaChavah V'ashvakim Shib'ir, V'atei V'shinayisim V'asvarim, V'asvarim Shekonu B'nei Oyer Zilmoyt B'hav. The city asks people to donate. They make every, you have to understand, the system was different then. When you have one shul in town, the shul can levy an obligation to everybody to donate. You're obligated. You live in this city. You have obligations as a member of the community, whether you want to be one or don't want to be one. This is the Gay in Halacha, in Siman Gimel Arachayim, There's a whole section, and in your day there's also a section. How do you levy this tax? Do rich people have to pay more? Is it per head? Is it a money? The marshal. You have to hire a chazan. Now in those days, a baltrila was mighty people. It was a necessity. You needed somebody to say chazar sashat for people who can't daven shemayin esrei. They didn't have sidurim, and they didn't know how to daven shemayin esrei. So the people that daven chazar sashat were mighty. So it's a necessity a tzibur have, a city have. Now they have to pay the chazan, right? How do they do it? So the Ramah Paskins, it's a machlokes. The Ramah Paskins, half is per capita, and half is according to money. Why? Because the rich people need the chazan more than the poor people. Because the poor people, if they want to, can go to a different, can leave the city and go somewhere else. They have nothing binding them to the city. A rich person, he doesn't want to leave. He has a beautiful house. He knows, you know, he's leaving so fast. So that's the halacha, half this way. But I'm not getting involved in that simon now. But you have a, you don't have an out. You can't say, I'm not being mishtatis. It's a tax. Community has a tax. There's people that run the community. They can make a decision. We need to buy it, build a show. Everybody has to contribute. And they can levy an amount that you have to contribute, which makes you part owner. See, because we live in a big city, and there is no community anymore, so they don't levy taxes on anybody. So you voluntarily become a member. Nobody's making you become a member anywhere. There are people that don't belong to any show.
Yeah, I'm supposed to
drive them
like that.
That's not the shyla here. The people who float don't own any show. Right, that's what it is. You know, you can have a basement minion, right? You can have a privately owned show. The guy can make his own show. Doesn't charge anybody anything. People can come down from there. Doesn't have to be owned by community. They are privately owned shows. Dr. Rush, we just did that. Okay, Kaisen Chalkal and Nazi will leave for tomorrow. Everybody should have a wonderful day. And those who are traveling should have a day of flight.